Good morning. Please be seated. It's great to see you all. My name is Frank Bernardi. I've been here a number of times in the past, but it's been a number of years now. And I bring you greetings from St. George's Anglican Church in Tunis, Tunisia, and what is actually the newest diocese in the Anglican Communion, the Diocese of North Africa. It's great to be with you all here. My wife would love to be here as well. She got stuck at the Chicago airport last night. Otherwise, she'd be here with us. But we love coming to Murraysville because this is a great congregation that over the years has supported us so well and always interested in our work and always eager to hear about what we're doing. And So I'm happy to be here and give you some, just get face to face with you all, let you know what's going on in Tunis, Tunisia. 22 years we've been living there, ministering there. We raised four kids there. And I want to tell you today about a map and a miracle. Tell you two stories, one about a map and one about a miracle. So for 22 years, my wife and I have been doing ministry in North Africa, in the city of Tunis, Tunisia. But years ago, when I was in seminary, I was exposed to this certain map. It was a map of the Anglican Communion, the entire Anglican Communion. And it was a beautiful map. It was really colorful, and it was dynamic, it was a map of the whole world, and it showed like every province of the Anglican Communion, every diocese in the Anglican Communion, and it showed tiny little dioceses in the middle of Africa. It showed the great big province of Canada, and it was really a beautiful map. And the thing that was most beautiful about it was, apart from maybe some empty spaces at the poles, the entire map, the whole world, was included. It was somehow, there was an Anglican presence in every country of the world, every continent, every major language group, and it was really a beautiful map in that sense. But there was this one thing about the map that you couldn't miss. It was a glaring problem, and it was right there in the middle. Right smack dab in the middle of the map was the northern third of Africa. And it was this white space. And it was kind of like the whole world had this Anglican presence, but there was just nothing going on in this big white space right in the middle of the map, the northern third of Africa. And it just said one thing in that whole region, bigger than the United States. It just said Egypt. Now, when I went there in 2001, I learned what this was about. And that was that there is an Anglican church in Egypt. There's been for a couple hundred years at least. And it's a somewhat dynamic church. They have Egyptians leading it and worshiping there. But the other countries in North Africa, not only do they not have any Anglican presence, but there's very little, if no, Christian presence. I live in a country where 1,500 years ago, the church there was as strong as any place in the world. You read about the ancient church of Carthage. Carthage in the Roman Empire was the second city. And it was not only a significant city and an important city, it had one of the most significant churches in the world at the time, from the 200s up through the 400s. It produced thinkers such as Augustine and Tertullian and Cyprian. And this ancient church of Carthage, this ancient church of North Africa, which at one time was amazing and influential, completely disappeared. Oh, by the year 1100, 1100, it was gone. There was no Christian presence in North Africa whatsoever. But the British, about 150 years ago, came in as they were colonizing the world, and they put up these little Anglican chaplaincies, one in Algeria, one in Tunisia, and one in Tripoli, Libya. And they were little Anglican churches that looked like an English country church, and they were for the British people who were living there as expatriates. And these three churches, which still existed, somebody said, well, they have to go somewhere. So they said, well, Egypt is nearby. Let's throw them into their diocese. So as a result, the entire swath of the northern third of North Africa, which had no church, no followers of Jesus whatsoever, were just sort of lumped into the diocese of Egypt. And it was a glaring omission on this otherwise beautiful map. A couple years ago, there was a massive change in the Anglican Communion, and that whole area is now, instead of being an aftersight, it was determined, the visionary bishop of Egypt said, this is an Anglican province. It's called the province of Alexandria, and created these new dioceses. And our diocese, North Africa, is the newest one, and it doesn't even, we don't have a cathedral, we don't have a bishop. All we have are these three churches that are trying to reach the rest of North Africa. But for the first time, the Anglican world is actually focused on this region of the globe and recognizing that these people deserve to hear the gospel. And they're focused not on just overseeing a couple of insignificant expatriate congregations, but actually reaching the indigenous people of that land. And I'm the rector of one of these churches, and it's a very significant one. And I'll tell you why. North Africa, as I told you, there are virtually no Christians in the whole region. Statistically, it's 100% Muslim. We have at our church a young, emerging, but growing quickly congregation of indigenous people, Tunisians, who Arabic-speaking Tunisians, all of whom are from a Muslim background. In Algeria, you can't have that because there's a lot of pressure from the government. A lot of control from the government to make sure that this church that has historical status is only for foreigners. In Libya, it's the same way, but the pressure is even greater. And not only is there pressure on these churches to make sure that it's just for foreigners, but right now in Libya, for the last 3 or 4 months, they have had excessive pressure put on anyone in the country who is a Christian. In Libya, in the last 3 or 4 months, they've arrested a dozen or more Christians simply for their religion. And they've been thrown into jail, and we don't know where they are. We haven't heard from them. And one of these people that they arrested was a minister at the Anglican Church in Tripoli, Libya. He's a Pakistani man who was arrested about 3 months ago, and we haven't heard from him since. His wife and little baby had to flee Libya, and they came to Tunisia, and we are taking care of them, looking after them, making sure that they've got a place to stay until her husband can be freed. But in Tunisia, there's something unique going on. For whatever reason, the same sort of pressure that we see in the rest of North Africa isn't happening. In fact, the government there, which is still, it's an Islamic government, it's 100% Muslim, they, for some reason, have chosen to support minority religions. And they've chosen to embrace religious tolerance. So not only do they allow us operate, they actually are encouraging of us. And so the future of this brand new diocese of North Africa, which is the Anglican world looking at this big swath of land that has no church and saying, we're now going to invest in this, we're going to bring the gospel to this place. The future is in this young, emerging congregation that exists at St. George's. And we still have an expatriate congregation, which I'm also the pastor of, and they do great. But the exciting thing is this congregation of Tunisians, all from a Muslim background, who have a strong faith, a vision for the rest of their country, and a desire to bring the gospel to North Africa. And it's all happening in the Anglican Communion, in the newest diocese in the Anglican Communion. Now, one of the things I found is that where there is a desire to reach unreached people, where there's a passion to bring the gospel to people who have never heard about Jesus, God is at work, and he is at work with miracles. And we see it every day almost. We see people who come to faith in Tunisia. Most of the time they come to faith because they've experienced some kind of a miracle, a healing, or maybe they've had a vision. We see this all the time. And it's one of the great blessings of my life, of my ministry, to be able to see these amazing miracles because we're bringing the gospel to a place that's otherwise unreached. And for 20 years, my wife and I have labored in this place with very little fruit. We've shared our faith and seen no response. We've told stories of Jesus. We've read the Bible with people. We've shared life and invested in entire extended families. And year after year, we would see very, very little fruit, if any. But finally, sometimes it takes 20 years. But finally, what we're seeing is now an amazing young, emerging church in Tunisia. And we're seeing it because God is at work miraculously. I have had the benefit, the honor in the last 2 years of baptizing 12 Tunisians, all from a Muslim background, new believers. And I've had the opportunity of marrying several people. I've gotten married in the church. These are people from a Muslim background who find another, who just miraculously find another believer, from a Muslim background. And they come together and they're able to marry someone with whom they're equally yoked. Miracles every day. But what I want to talk about now is this recent miracle that happened just before I left Tunisia to come here. And it's an example of the kind of miracles that God can do if you're there, if you're present, if you're where the church isn't, and you're physically present where the church isn't bringing the gospel. So there's this organization, human rights organization, that we sometimes do work with. And they called me and said, look, we've got some dignitaries coming in from England. Can you guys, can you show them the church? They want to see the church. So they brought them by the church. I showed them around, answered some of their questions. And somebody said to me, Frank, I've heard that you give tours of the archaeological ruins of Carthage. And you remember, as I said, there was an ancient church in Carthage. Between 200 and 500. The church there was actually pretty big. It was strong. And there's lots of archaeological remnant of that church. The people in the church died off long ago. But archaeologically, there's a lot to see and to tell the story about how the church emerged and later died. And I said, yeah, I sometimes give people tours of Carthage. Would you like me to give you one tomorrow? And they said, sure. So I met up with them at our first site. showed them around a little bit, and I said, okay, let's go to our next site. And we got on their bus. I'm on their bus. There's 8 or 9 of us, I don't know. And I said to them, okay, so I agreed to give you this tour. We're on this tour now of Carthage. Now, you guys tell me who you are. And one of them said, well, I'm a member of the House of Lords. Another one said, I'm a member of the House of Commons. And another one said, I'm a special envoy for the British Prime Minister. And we're here as a part of a special task force fact-finding for the Prime Minister on the topic of freedom of religion and belief. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. If you guys are the, you know, the eyes and the ears of the Prime Minister in the area of freedom of religion and belief, and you're here in North Africa, surely you've heard about what's happening right now in Libya. And they said, no, what's happening in Libya? So I told them about the Christians who were being arrested left and right in Libya now, and about the Pakistani man who's a minister at the Anglican church there who's been arrested. They were shocked. They didn't know about any of it. And I said, if you'd like, you can sit down and talk with his widow. His wife. Not a widow, Lord willing. Not a widow. And they said, yes, we'd love that. So the next day, I arranged for this task force from there on behalf of the Prime Minister to meet with and listen to the story of this young woman who told about how her husband was taken and arrested and not heard from again. And these men were crying. They were moved by her story and said, we're taking this back to the government and it will be priority one. So we haven't seen any results yet, but the miracle is that because there's a church presence there, you know, the evil that the Satan wants to do can be met with God's power. And I will update you as things unfold, but we're hopeful that because of this church in this brand new diocese in North Africa, we might see a resolution to this problem in our brother free. So, I'm thrilled to be here with you. Thank you all for all of your support over the years. I'll be around after the service to talk, and God bless you. Amen.